It feels like just about every day, there's a new fitness franchise or something to buy for home. Doesn't it feel impossible to keep up with all the trends? Or maybe it's intimidating to give the new fitness formats a try. From the SkyTerra Wellness Retreat, this is the Inspired Intentions Podcast, where we help people build the skills and mindset to live a healthy life. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and if you're ready to plunge into the benefits and drawbacks of three of the most popular fitness franchises on the streets of the States, we have the right conversation for you. In today's main discussion, we bring on two of SkyTerra's household teammates, marketing specialist Avery Campbell and director of fitness Mitchell Wendling. And in our conversation, we discuss the popular fitness programs Orange Theory, F45, and CrossFit. Who knows? One of these programs might be just the right fit for you and the enhancement you've been looking for in your fitness. After our main segment, we will get your focus right for the rest of the week. Up first, Alan with your listener Q&A.
Thanks, Jeff. Today's question comes from a former SkyTerra guest and fanatic Inspired Intentions listener, Nancy. I thought this question was super cool. Nancy's question is all about social media influencers, which is not something that I think we have ever talked about before. Nancy's question is essentially the pros and cons of social media influencers. And I found the perfect person to answer this question. I'm bringing on Avery Campbell, who is a marketing specialist here at SkyTerra, fitness instructor, but she currently runs our social media. So she's kind of in both of these worlds. Thanks for coming on, Avery.
Thanks so much, Alan. And thanks for your question, Nancy.
Yeah, totally. With this question, first off, I want to hit what is a social media influencer for our listeners that are out there that maybe have no idea.
Yeah, totally. So a fitness influencer essentially is someone that promotes an active and healthy lifestyle on any given social media platform. So they're typically known, liked, and trusted by fitness consumers, which means essentially their opinion carries a lot of weight. And viewers and followers typically really appreciate the authentic and genuine feel of their content and look to these influencers to give them honest advice when it comes to fitness and health.
Gotcha. So these are the people that you're going to see on like Facebook, short videos on Instagram, maybe TikTok. Yeah,
yep.
TikTok for sure. Yeah. And so these are the people that are like giving you maybe advice or telling you their routines, maybe their nutrition routines all around fitness.
You got it. Yep.
Okay, well, cool. So for Nancy's question, really, I guess the first part is from your perspective, What are they doing right?
Yeah. So I'd say the most obvious pro of fitness influencers is kind of comes from this newfound ability brought to us by social media to connect with like-minded people over topics that interest us and bring us joy, and just the ability to gather inspiration from others. Like on the most basic level, we now have this incredible ability to get free advice from some of the top trainers and dietitians and coaches on a daily basis. And that's pretty cool. Social media.
It's kind of like right at our fingertips, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, social media is the reason even we at SkyTerra are able to connect with you and give you the free resources and advice and tips and tricks that we feel will help you better your lives.
That's awesome. So I'm hearing availability is one of the big things that on a daily basis. These influencers are posting things. Maybe I personally like getting ideas of like, oh, that's a cool movement I've never done before, right?
Yeah.
In my fitness routine.
Absolutely. And community, like online or in person, will always be a really awesome concept where a lot of magic can happen. And we know that firsthand from our community here at SkyTerra.
Yeah, that's very, very true. So with them having these pros, this availability to everybody, I think there's some things that our listeners should be cautious about how they consume this information because it is given to us on a daily basis.
Certainly.
What do you think that these different social media influencers are doing that isn't beneficial to our viewership or anybody that's consuming their stuff on a daily basis?
Yeah. So I want to start out by stating the obvious. which is that typically these influencers that we follow religiously often undeniably have really coveted physiques. So for women in the fitness space, specifically, this can mean a small and defined waist, flat abs, perfectly displayed by the newest and trendiest activewear. So we all know that comparison is one of the largest issues when it comes to social media. And when comparison kind of takes over and you find yourself comparing your looks and your lifestyle and every move you make to a virtual stranger on the internet simply because they're, you know, hashtag body goals, this can become an issue. And in addition, we forget that having the ideal body doesn't necessarily make someone a trained professional, and it's not necessarily grounds to seek health advice from them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm hearing, like, just understand that everybody's unique. Everybody's body's unique.
Yeah. I mean, my advice is to just do your research, seek advice from individuals that you truly trust to, you know, maybe they're a fitness influencer that doubles as hopefully a trained professional, and recognize that striving to be the best version of you is always going to leave you more fulfilled than striving to look or be like someone else or carry out their health and fitness routine to a perfect T.
Yeah, Avery, I think that that was just very well said. I mean, those are some really great pros and cons. And I think that that's something that we could caution not only with fitness influencers, but influencers across the board, just anything that we consume on social media. So thanks for answering that. And since you are the social media expert here at SkyTerra, I'd love for you to tell all of our listeners just really quick where they could follow us on social media at.
Yeah. So on Facebook, you can find us at SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Instagram is at SkyTerra_wellness. Our website, SkyTerraWellness.com. And you can also visit SkyTerraAtHome.com for a lot of free resources. And you can also, last but not least, find us on YouTube, SkyTerra Wellness Retreat.
Awesome. Well, and if you have a question that you think is right for the Inspired Intentions podcast, please send me an email at inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. And we may just answer your question just like we did Nancy's today, right here live on air. So thanks, Avery.
Thanks so much. And thanks again, Nancy.
Thanks, and enjoy the rest of the show.
So today we are talking about popular fitness franchises. I'm excited to dive in. We have none other than Director of Fitness, Mitchell Wendling.
What up, what up?
What's up, Mitchell?
How are you?
Doing well. I'm excited for my haircut this weekend.
Can't wait to give it to you.
Yeah, listeners, Mitchell, they don't know about that hairstylist. What's that?
They don't know about that passion.
That behind-the-scenes passion, right, of making people look good with your stylish abilities.
I'm all about it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a fun fact. Anyways, we also have none other than SkyTerra's marketing specialist,
hey,
Avery Campbell.
How's it going?
What's up, Avery?
Happy to be here.
Avery, give our listeners just a little bit about you, how you came to be at SkyTerra. This is your first time on the podcast.
Yeah, what an honor. My name is Avery. I'm from South Bend, Indiana. I just recently graduated from the Ball State University. Got my degree in exercise science. Chirp, chirp. but I am a fitness fanatic. I love it. I actually did the fitness and recreation internship here with SkyTerra last January. And I've learned a lot and made my way to the marketing department here at SkyTerra.
Yeah. And what I love about Avery's transition is she's able to emulate what we're doing on campus, and with her expertise behind fitness classes and kind of everything SkyTerra, it's really cool how she's able to put that out into the world for those who are tuning in to our retreat. And so today we are going to be diving in to a topic that we've never done on the podcast, more into mainstream fitness programs. So listeners, we're going to be talking about three fitness programs today. One is known as CrossFit. The second is Orange Theory. And the third, which I'm excited to learn more about, is F45. Now, the reason we have Mitchell and Avery with us is because they have side hustles going on at Orange Theory and F45. And I'm really interested to just kind of learn more about the programming that they lead. And I think listeners, if you're looking for a program in your area, that matches with what you're trying to get out of fitness, I think all three of us can give you some perspective on what these three programs have to offer. So we're going to start with what each program offers, what their focus includes. And for listeners to know a bit more about my past, I don't always share it at the retreat. I used to hold my CrossFit Level 2 certification along with multiple certifications with CrossFit Mobility, CrossFit Endurance, and actually CrossFit Rowing. So before my time at SkyTerra, I led a lot of CrossFit style classes, and it helped me to groom the philosophy that we tend to put out around movements that we have within our program at SkyTerra. Now, I want to give you all background on what CrossFit exactly is, because there's a lot of negatives that are out in the public around CrossFit, and yet the foundation of it honestly paved the way for a lot of new functionally based programs to come out in the fitness environment. So what's the focus of CrossFit? Well, it's constantly varied functional movements performed at high intensity. That's actually the exact definition of CrossFit. Secondly, the focus lies in multiple types of training. And what I mean by multiple types is three specific components: gymnastics, weightlifting, and then metabolic conditioning. Metabolic conditioning is a fancy term for rowing, running, cycling, anything that's going to get your heart rate up. Now, what CrossFit has aimed to do is to plug all of these different modalities into very different workouts every time you show up to the small group training gym. So it's classically done in a small group, typically around 10 people max in a class. And the one big thing that CrossFit attempted to bring to the world was this focus on technique first. And the hierarchy at CrossFit is technique, intensity, and then duration. And often in the fitness world, it tends to be kind of the opposite. And so that's the high level perspective of what CrossFit is. And I want to kick it over to Mitchell at this point to give you all the focus of Orange Theory.
Awesome. So Orange Theory is relatively new. It started in 2010 down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And since then, it's become one of the fastest growing fitness franchises, not in the country, but across the globe.
So, I was just in Nashville, and I saw one like 2 miles from our Airbnb.
Yeah, they're literally everywhere. If you go down to Florida, it's like everywhere.
Jamming.
It's just everywhere, yeah. So the premise of Orange Theory, it's a 60-minute class, and it is coach-led. And the cool thing is that their coaches have to have some sort of certification, where that's personal training, group fitness, etc. And then on top of that, they have to get the Orange Theory certified as well. So they have their own certification, so you can teach their style of class, which is cool. So it's a 60-minute class. It is a heart rate-based training. So it's not necessarily considered interval or high-intensity interval training. They like to go with heart rate-based training, which I think is kind of a cool approach. And it's backed by science, and they use heart rate technology throughout the class, which is cool.
Now, are there TVs set up? I've actually never stepped into an Orange Theory, but there's TVs where while you're doing the workout, you're able to monitor like what zones you're in?
Yeah, there's the cool thing that is you have, well, back up just a second. So the class itself has three main parts to it. You have a treadmill part, there's a rowing part on the rowing ergometers, and then there's a floor part where all the weights are. So if you're on the rower or the treadmill, you have a screen there attached to the rower and the treadmill that gives you real-time updates on your heart rate level. And then we have our five zones. So basically the easiest zone, which is our gray zone, all the way up to our red zone, which is basically 92% of your max heart rate or higher. So you can see what color you are. You can see where your heart rate is, calories burned, etc.
Now, do participants wear like a chest strap when they're working out for the most part, or is it wrist-based technology?
They have the option. We have the chest. I would say most people don't use that anymore. But you have the chest. You have one that you can go over your bicep. They have one over the wrist, and then recently just
I'd want one over my bicep. I mean, you've seen my biceps, right?
To make those veins pop. Yep.
Yeah.
The newest one though, they have that attaches right into your Apple Watch, which is awesome.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it's very progressive.
Very, yeah.
Cool. Well,
but
thanks.
That's Orange Theory in a nutshell.
Yeah, yeah. And I know we'll dive deeper in our next question because, listeners, we're going to kind of give you the benefits of each of these programs. And with any fitness program out there, there's always some drawback. And I think we're going to speak very openly and honestly just about how which of these might be a fit for you and things you need to be aware of if you're going to start Orange Theory or CrossFit or even F45. So before we get there, Avery, fill us in. What is this F45 program all about?
Yeah, so F45, the F stands for functional, and the workouts are 45 minutes long. So that's kind of the basis behind the name. But the workouts combine elements of high-intensity interval training, circuit training, and traditional and functional strength and conditioning. There is a heart rate monitor involved, just like Orange Theory. However, I would agree with Mitchell in saying that that's probably kind of on its way out, wearing the heart rate monitor around your chest. The main focus is the technology piece. The exercise programming is on the TVs mounted on the front of the studios. So it provides an organized station-by-station diagram for each daily workout, which prevents confusion and allows the workout
to... What's the diagram like?
Yeah, so in addition to calling out the timing when the participants can rest and begin working, there's diagrams up on the screen. So, for example, if there's 24 stations in a workout and you forgot what station 19 is, all you have to do is look up and it's right in front of you on a screen. Someone's demoing the movement for you. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, so... it's super cool. The variation in the workout programming is what keeps the members engaged, I think, because there's 45 different workout structures. There's thousands of exercises in the database. So that's kind of one of the selling points is you never take the same class twice.
Yeah, that's not dissimilar from CrossFit. They call it the hopper.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm hearing with F45 is that there's some... franchised programming.
Mm-hmm.
So does it stem from kind of the headquarters?
Yeah. They actually post a lot about it on their social media. They'll post about their filming days for when they're filming more exercises and adding them to the database to show you that they're keeping up with it and adding more exercises.
Nice. So anything else to include about the focus of F45, or is that the high level perspective of what the program offers?
I mean, I think one really important thing to note that I might have missed is that certain days of the week are cardio-based, certain days of the week are strength-based, and other certain days are hybrid-style classes. So I think that's what makes the programming unique is you have days that are fully dedicated to getting your heart rate up, and then you've got days where the class is a lot more slowed down, the intervals are slower, and the movements are more controlled and resistance focused.
Awesome. Yeah. And do those days stay consistent each week? So it's like every Tuesday and Thursday strength days,
mm-hmm.
and other days like high intensity days?
Yeah. So right now, Monday and Wednesdays are cardio days. Tuesday and Thursday are resistance style. And then I believe Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are hybrid style classes. So you kind of know what you're getting into before you attend.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for the overview. It sounds like a pretty well laid out program. Now, Mitchell, I've heard from guests who have been taking part in Orange Theory that they've added a strength component to it as well. What's that look like?
Yeah, so they call it Lift 45, so very similar. But yeah, so they have...
Where'd they get that name? I'm just kidding.
It was creative.
Yeah. I like the simple names, though. I like things that stand for, like, what you're doing.
But definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a class that's it's offered 3 or 4 times a week, depending on the studio, usually.
Oh, cool.
If it's really popular, it can be offered every day. But it's a 45-minute class, all just strength training with weights, body weight, et cetera. So there's no treadmill or no rower component to it. So it's just 45 minutes, mainly more circuit-based. But, yeah.
Well, I think what I'm hearing overall, as both of you have described Orange Theory and F45, is there's a lot of intention to the week.
Definitely.
And there's a ton of prescription behind how the workouts progress in a week, where it does sound like there's a lot of variance, very similar to CrossFit. And so I think that's why all three of these franchises have become pretty popular. And so that's where I'd like to take this conversation next, is what has made Orange Theory so popular, Mitchell?
I would say for a few reasons. One, the group setting, the social aspect of it, you know, you typically, if you go to the same class, same time, you see the same people and you get these connections. And I think that is really powerful. And going back to the heart rate stuff, yes, you have a screen right there in front of you on the treadmill or the rower, but there's also two big screens for like the whole class.
Oh.
So it has everybody on there. And just for example, if I'm coaching the class and we're going all out on the treadmills and rowers, and we're trying to light that screen up all like orange and red, that means we're going really, really hard.
So the collective, like going really hard.
I think that's kind of
powerful.
Oh,
that's a
too.
Unique feature.
So you can see it.
Now, do you do the workout with the participants?
Unfortunately, I do not.
Oh, well.
I just have to watch.
Yeah. Well, you get to watch.
Get to watch.
Yeah.
I don't have to. I get to.
Yeah. So social aspect, there's some camaraderie in like pushing the pace together.
100%. I think the biggest part of it is it really helps a lot of our members with their cardiovascular goals.
Yeah.
I would say Orange Theory overall is more cardio based. And so similar to F45, we have power days where you're going to go a lot of like all out efforts, shorter durations. We have strength days where it's a lot more inclines on the treadmill. And then we have endurance days where it's just longer efforts.
Very cool.
So like 3, 4, or 5 minutes.
Yeah. What I'm hearing is you have some days that are very high anaerobic, like sprint based stuff.
Yeah.
And then to build strength through a cardiovascular modality, we're using the incline
definitely
at some longer type intervals.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of science behind that.
Yeah. And it's really cool. So it's not on set days like F45 is. So it could just be random. The templates are laid out to the members if you want to check them out. Most people like to be surprised, like, oh, what do we got today?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's
so
fun.
It's pretty cool. But I do think it's the second big benefit is just the cardiovascular piece that you get to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say, reflecting on CrossFit, that a lot of people gravitate to CrossFit who don't like cardio.
Yeah.
That seems to be a common theme that when I've participated and seen members, that they tend to be folks who prefer strength, even though the whole program is designed to make an impact in all sides of fitness. But yeah, I could see someone who's into cardio, like loving Orange Theory, and I think that's why you've always told me I got to get down there and
you gotta try it.
Take a class.
I don't know what you're waiting on.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Come on.
I can make it happen.
After that haircut.
Perfect. Well timed. So Avery, what is making F45 so popular?
I think one of the reasons why F45 has become so popular, and really one of the reasons why I stand by the programming so much, is because the main focus of F45 is the functional training, the functional fitness component. For our listeners, functional training involves training for activities performed in daily life, which is, you know, your pulling movements, your pushing movements, squatting, rotating movements, super similar to the programming that we have here at SkyTerra. So it's designed to help individuals move and perform better in their everyday activities, as well as preventing injury. So these types of exercises typically involve the use of your full body or major muscle groups, which I think is super important for beginners to be engaging in those types of movements. So it's super empowering in that sense.
Yeah, I think what we find when individuals are starting a fitness program and you get them moving through daily living activity-based movements, you see change a lot quicker. And it is a lot more safe than people really know, and kind of a cool aspect that I'm hearing that makes F45 pretty popular.
Yeah, and kind of similar to what Mitchell said about that community feel that Orange Theory cultivates, I actually think F45's slogan is team training, life changing.
Ooh,
which,
nice.
Yeah.
Team training, life changing.
So that other focus is that team training component. And F45 programming, I've found, has a lot of super athletic undertones. So it includes movements that you might prioritize practicing, like, for example, if you played a sport, like many movements thrown into the mixed challenge, like agility, speed, balance, coordination. So if you were an athlete or you just, you know, like practicing or training in that sense, this could be the programming for you.
Cool. So there's a sports performance aspect to
mm-hmm.
it. That's fun.
Hello, Inspired Intentions listeners. we are cooking up something very exciting for you this month. On Wednesday, May 18th at 6 p.m. Eastern, Skyterra's executive chef, Peter Brinkerhoff, will be doing a live cooking demonstration. He'll be live on our Facebook page showing you how to make chicken piccata with some Skyterra twists. That's Wednesday, May 18th at 6 p.m. Eastern on Skyterra's Facebook page. It'll almost be like having Chef Peter in your kitchen. So check out the event listing on our Facebook page for your grocery list. We'll see you in your kitchen. Now, back to the show.
Great. So I'm going to dig into CrossFit a bit more and what makes it so popular, because I think it's three to four fold when you think about it, especially for me, someone who didn't love strength training and came from this like, hey, I'm going to just run lots of miles all the time. CrossFit recalibrated me personally. And it was something that I was able to latch onto that allowed me personally to have fun with strength training in a way that I hadn't before. So what kind of gravitates most folks is the uniqueness of the workouts. I don't think it's dissimilar from what y'all have shared. It's like, it sounds like every day at Orange Theory or F45, it's a different workout. What I do want listeners to know is like EMOM, Tabata, AMRAP, four-time workouts, CrossFit kind of originated those types of workouts. So we offer a class here at Skyterra called Every Minute on the Minute, EMOM. That's a classic workout that shows up in a different way at a CrossFit gym. And it's typically done with strength training versus a high amount of reps, but it can be done in different ways. AMRAP, for instance, was a crazy new style of workout that I was not used to when I first started doing CrossFit. That shows up in our lean class at Skyterra. So it refers to as many rounds as possible. And so plugging in like three movements, as simple as like five push-ups, 10 sit-ups, and 15 squats, and then saying, hey, you have 15 minutes to do as many rounds as possible, is brutal. It's awful. And yet it gives you this crazy amount of bang for your buck in a short amount of time. Now, the beauty of CrossFit is that's not an everyday thing. And I think that's where gyms can sometimes go wrong, is they just start AMRAPing people every day, where CrossFit was actually meant to be shorter duration workouts. And folks who are leading CrossFit gyms and designing program, which is not contained in the way that your two programs are, they prioritize some workouts that only last 6 to 8 minutes. And there might be a lift before that workout. But I think what's so unique about it is that there are very, very different workouts every single day. Not dissimilar from what you have all spoken into, but the variety and the setup of all of them is pretty cool. I'd also like to kind of point out that I think CrossFit has a ton of measurability behind it. So like, Mitchell, is it super cool for your participants to see, you know, after a week or a couple weeks that like they have to go faster to get their heart rate higher? Like, is that a fair thing that you see with new participants?
Yeah, definitely. After each class, they get, you know, the final workout results pop up on the screen. Mm-hmm. So you can see everybody's, but it gets emailed to you. And then after each email, you know, this is your daily, it's your weekly, it's your monthly, it's your yearly, whatever, all your statistics, all your metrics.
And you hear people talk about it and like kind of have a sense of pride with the effort that they've put in to achieve new results.
And I think the cool thing now that you mentioned is we have benchmarks that happen throughout the year.
Yeah.
So for example, like literally tonight, there is a 12-minute run for distance. So
cool.
How far can you get in 12 minutes?
I mean, I can go almost 2.5 miles, but...
You think so?
Yeah. Who wants to sound confidently humble on the podcast?
Nice.
Me.
Nice.
Totally playing. Avery, is this similar for F45? There's benchmarks, measurability. Do people latch on to that?
Yeah. I actually just taught on Monday a benchmark cardio class where there's a certain number of reps up on the screen that you're aiming to meet. And if you don't meet that number, you just set your own number and you try to stick with that same number of reps for each round that you complete a movement. That's just a cardio-based one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this second benefit that I'm sharing about CrossFit is woven into both Orange Theory and F45. I think the measurability is super cool with CrossFit because there's named workouts. So for instance, there's a named AMRAP workout called Cindy, and they base a lot of their workouts off of military individuals like who have lost their lives, which is pretty incredible. It's just a interesting way that they came about having these benchmarks that have been around since CrossFit, since its beginning. Anyways, like Cindy is 5 pull-ups, 10 push-ups, and 15 squats. So every time you do Cindy, it's a 20-minute AMRAP. You do as much as you can do in 20 minutes. You kind of know the number of rounds the next time you go back and do it. Another popular workout we've talked on the podcast is called Murph, where it's a 1 mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 squats, followed by a 1 mile run. Quite intense as you hear me describe it, and we're going to get into where you need to be careful with all three of these programs. But I love the measurability to it. For me, it was like only being able to squat like 75 pounds when I went in to eventually get to a back squat of like 265 is pretty incredible for like a little dude like me. I mean, Mitchell does 265 for like 20 reps, but it's so cool
too.
To see that. Yeah, Avery as well. Both stronger than the host of the Inspired Intentions podcast. Yeah, Avery and I, we were rowing once and I just barely won because of our strength. Do you remember that?
Like it was yesterday.
I was sore for like 3 days after the fact. Yeah, I had to like leave it all on the line. Anyways, the final kind of benefit of CrossFit, we've talked about the social component. I think that is huge.
Mm-hmm.
CrossFit has gotten the vibe that it can be sort of a cult. And yet I think what people are looking for in life these days is social connection. And CrossFit provided that for me when I was in my early 20s in a new environment right out of school. And I think just for adults who don't feel socially connected, going to any three of these programs is a huge benefit. And I think sometimes people try to bite off fitness by themselves. And I think like if you've never been to a small group training, like give it a try and see what happens, because you might meet some new friends and, you know, just develop a different side of health, which is that connection. And then finally, not that Orange Theory or F45 doesn't do this, but the physical results happen really quickly when you do constantly varied functional movements performed at high intensity.
Is it true they call it a box?
Yeah. So the name for the place you go for CrossFit is a CrossFit box, not a gym. And most CrossFit gyms are not as nice as F45 or Orange Theory. So there's kind of a tribal, primal, like bare bones feeling to it. So we've talked about what these three programs are, what the benefits and focus within these programs tend to be. And now we're going to jump into some of the potential drawbacks. So Mitchell, when you analyze Orange Theory, you're obviously passionate about the programming. What could be one or two potential drawbacks for folks who are giving it a try?
Definitely. I think compared to CrossFit or F45, Orange Theory is a 60-minute class. So for folks who don't have 60 minutes, if they only have 30 or less for CrossFit or 45, it's a program where, you know, it's just not going to be for you because you don't have that type of time. So the time can be a drawback, I believe, for some. I think the intensity level is a big one as well. I mean, you just see everyone around you, if they're going super hard and you maybe aren't, but you feel like you should be, you feel the need to take it up maybe to an unsafe level where your body's not ready for that yet. And I think that can be a drawback. And I mean, really the hardest thing with Orange Theory, in my opinion, is you have to get your workout on while also listening to the coach who is on the mic over the whole class. So
gotcha.
If you're on the treadmill, for example, say you start walking, I'll coach it. Hey, we're going to take it to what we call a push pace. It's like a challenging pace for you. We're going to take it there. So you just might be in your zone running, and then I'll call something else over the mic. We're going to go to this incline or this speed, whatever it is, and you just might miss it. And everybody else is next to you doing it, and you might be new to the program, so you weren't familiar with it, and you just feel like left out or behind.
Yeah.
So it takes a little getting used to. I would say, you know, at least a 3, 4, 5, 6 classes before you really get into the swing of things. So it takes a little bit of time that in that sense. And yeah, those are the two big ones I would say for sure.
Yeah. With any program, it takes some time to kind of understand it, yeah. No doubt. And I think it is great that it's coach led. The intensity thing is always something that I remind guests to stay aware of. It's like sometimes when you're starting your new fitness routine, you feel like you should be in a different place.
Yeah.
And sometimes individuals who think they're fitter than they actually are run into more trouble with injury and yeah. not being able to keep up with their programs yeah. just by maybe feeling like they should be working at an all-out effort on their first day.
Yeah, I think. And again, it is more cardio-based, so another potential drawback could be the strength training side of things. Most studios you go to aren't going to have a plethora of dumbbells. You know, they'll have a couple sets of, say, 30, 35, 40, 50 maybe, but they necessarily don't go higher than that if you need to. So there is that limiting factor of kind of how heavy you can truly go if building muscle is one of your main focuses. And then, you know, most studios are going to max out at like 36 people, which is a fairly big group. Not always the case. You know, you can have 10, 11, 12 people, but it can get up to, say, 36 in some studios more. So depending on what you're comfortable with in a pretty tight area.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's some great unbiased reflection on what could be some yeah. of the things to think about if you're going to be starting Orange Theory. How about for F45? Anything you see that could be an obstacle for newcomers?
Yeah, I think super similar to what Mitchell said, I feel like what's interesting is one of the biggest selling points of F45 could also be considered one of the things to be really cautious of. So like if you're someone that hasn't trained for a while or hasn't participated in formal exercise, you know, you're someone that is injury or pain prone, or you're just someone that needs a more graduated approach to exercise and activity, you know, that's totally fine. But this, you know, super high intensity, high energy, fast paced class environment might not be the best starting place to prioritize form first, which is an essential component to moving well and preventing injury. So it's not too far off from what Mitchell said, but just really want to caution our listeners to prioritize form first if you are just beginning, you know, your fitness journey. And then, you know, maybe if you want to participate in some of these group-based classes, pair it with, you know, training one-on-one with somebody that you can trust to help you with form so that you're carrying out these movements in a correct way so you can prevent injury.
That's good advice. It sounds like if I'm coming into F45, although there's the movement demos and on the screen as I'm progressing through the workout, it might be moving at a pace that's a little too quick for me in the beginning. And so getting down the basics of a lot of the forms of the movements that are showing up could almost help the participant get more out of the program as well.
Yeah, certainly.
Cool. Okay. You'll want to hear a little bit about my...
Absolutely.
Very intense opinion about CrossFit.
Let's get into it.
So anytime you do something for, gosh, I've been doing CrossFit personally for like 10 years at this point, you start to kind of learn when it goes well and when it can go wrong. And even as a coach of CrossFit, I would see these things show up. So like number one thing to be aware of with CrossFit is it's completely unregulated. So if you want to become a CrossFit trainer, you can attend a weekend seminar. I have not looked at the logistics of that recently. It may be changing. It's not that what is taught in the seminar is incorrect. I mean, the teachers who lead these seminars are awesome with form and technique. It's just such a short period of time to certify an individual that the person who might be leading your class doesn't have as many reps or experience that you really deserve to be kind of like learning from. Also, pretty much anyone can open up a CrossFit gym as long as they pay the affiliation fee. And so that's just something to be aware of. It doesn't mean that you're going to show up at a gym and that CrossFit leader's not going to know what they're talking about. It's just like, make sure you're doing your research on like if these individuals have a background in exercise science mm-hmm. and in health and wellness. Second thing I think to kind of rope in all three programs is definitely the intensity of it all. There's this condition called rhabdomyolysis. Have you heard of this, Mr. Mitchell?
Rhabdo?
Avery? Yeah, rhabdo. So when CrossFit first started, individuals would start too quick and they would do way too many reps and way too much intensity. And it would lead to a very serious condition called rhabdomyolysis, where one of the major symptoms is your pee actually starts to turn Coca-Cola color. And if that happens, you need to go immediately to the emergency room. Anyways, this sort of could happen with different movements that were being done at high repetition, which shouldn't be done at high repetition. One example of this is what's called a glute ham developer machine, where it's like a full range of motion sit up. Imagine like doing a full sit up, like through the floor and then all the way back up, the intensity of that. So that's a machine you'd want to be very, very careful on. And it's essentially like muscle breaking down into the bloodstream. That's what happens when something like this occurs, is you just went way too intense, way too quickly. So I would caution that in any regard with fitness, but it was something that occurred early on in CrossFit that gave it sort of a negative connotation to the programming. And then probably finally, is the movements can be very technical. So at SkyTerra, we introduced the barbell quite a bit. Mitchell, you like the new barbells we got?
Love them.
They're pretty cool, huh?
Colorful.
You want to tell our listeners the three cool colors that we have? If they were to come to SkyTerra, yeah, which barbells they get to use?
Oh gosh, we have...
Pink!
Pink, yep.
Pink, purple, blue, black.
Oh, we got black now too. Yeah. So, sorry, a little segue. But the movements with CrossFit... The barbell is utilized quite a bit. And is it fair to say F45 and Orange Theory, no barbell, right? F45
we
barbell.
We use barbells,
okay,
and dumbbells, yeah.
Nice. Orange Theory dumbbells.
Dumbbells only. Dumbbells and TRX.
And body weight, yeah. Yeah, there's some burpees, that kind of thing. Anyways, yeah, the movements that can be done at CrossFit can be Olympic lifts, which take a long time to learn. Like honestly, like 2 to 3 years to really get the flow down.
Oh, yeah.
So when starting CrossFit, you definitely want to be patient with learning some of the lifts and some of the movements that show up in the programming, and to be very careful with the use of the barbell, just so that you're not going too heavy too quick. You're getting the technique and the form down before going up in weight.
Well said.
Mic drop.
Covered some ground today. Avery, Mitchell, we got to get to final thoughts, I think. Final thoughts, Mitchell. What do you want people to remember about Orange Theory?
Orange Theory is a wonderful workout for any individual at any fitness level. Like most other establishments, you can scale up. You know, you can start at the lower level as you get more physically fit. You can make the workout more intense, but there's no pressure to do so whatsoever. So if you have a 60-minute block that you can dedicate to a workout and you really want to focus on your cardiovascular endurance, I think Orange Theory is the right plan.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Yeah.
Avery, final thoughts, F45.
Yeah, so I think F45, all in all, is a really great workout for someone that's looking to find balance with their strength and cardio regime. I think it's great for the busy individual. You know, we get a lot of people that are healthcare workers or parents, people that don't have as much time to dedicate. So if that's you, F45 could be a good workout. And that community and social-based aspect as well is super important.
Nice. Yeah.
What about you, Jeff? What are your final thoughts on CrossFit?
Let us know.
What I would tell you is CrossFit is meant to be something different than how it has honestly been portrayed. It's very valuable towards anyone out there wanting to make progress quickly, wanting to learn new movements, and wanting to really have variety in their week-to-week workouts. One thing I didn't mention is that you're hitting all different things in a such a functional way that when you can find the right CrossFit gym, the classes are small, the community is strong, and it can become a cornerstone of just enjoyment for you in your fitness routine. So that brings us to the end of the main segment. We are so grateful that both of you came on today to speak into fitness franchises. And I think what we hope for all our listeners is to go try any of these three options and let us know how it goes. We'd love to hear your experience with Orange Theory F45 or CrossFit. And if it becomes a new routine for you and we've inspired you, let us know. Mitchell, thanks for coming back in the booth today.
My pleasure.
Avery, so grateful to have you here as well. Your perspective was very helpful.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, stay tuned for the 5-Minute Focus. It's bad for your health. It can feel impossible to handle. It can even get to the point that it feels like it's proof that your life is screwed up. What am I talking about? Stress. The issue with stress is when it becomes chronic. When you are constantly outside your window of tolerance. This is known as your WOT. Your WOT is the body's optimal state where you can access both reason and emotion, as well as remain mentally engaged. This theory was popularized by Richard Bramford. Now here's the deal. When you are outside of your WOT, it can be difficult to calm down. This is called hyperarousal. Or you start shutting down, known as hypoarousal. Let me give you a personal example. When under stress, both Lindsay, director of nutrition, my wife, we tend to leave our WOT in opposite directions. I'm the type of person who can't calm down and typically refuse nor want to take time to process. On the flip side, Lindsay tends to be the type of person who shuts down and wants time to process. We are both human, just like you. Now, chronic stress is a tricky cycle to break. Here's how it works. Stressful situations trigger our thoughts. Our thoughts change our emotions, and our emotions lead us to negative reactions. And over time, the more we are exposed to the same stressful situation or situations, the more we create the same emotions, thoughts, and reactions. The relationship between our thoughts, emotions, and reactions is very tricky, very connected, and very intense. For example, imagine a stressful event just occurred in your life. You start to have the thought, why do I even bother? What's the point of trying? Look what happened this time. As this thought goes through your brain, it leads you to experience the emotion or emotions of hopelessness, despair, or even apathy. As you begin to feel hopeless, you react by withdrawing and isolating. This is just one example of the many when a cycle of chronic stress sets in. What is important to note is that chronic stress can be situational, whether it stems from family, work, or financial situations, the cycle remains the same. Why I point this out is because if you're experiencing chronic stress in one category of your life, it may have the tendency to impact the other categories, the other life accounts. That's why breaking this cycle by getting ahead of your thoughts, emotions, and reactions is so pivotal. It could even be transformational. So how is that done? I don't want to disown my kids, completely change my spending, or switch my job. I just don't want to feel like I'm in a constant state of stress all the time. To change the cycle, or manage it for that matter, it comes down to asking yourself four questions. One, what situations trigger my stress? Two, what thoughts go through my head because of these situations? Three, How do I start to feel? What emotions do I begin to experience? And four, how do I typically respond? How do I see myself deal with the stress? Stress, by definition, is the way your body and mind reacts to a challenge or demand. If we want our body and mind to react differently, we have to identify our cycle of stress. Your takeaways from our focus today are simple. What I want you to do next is identify the one reoccurring situation in your life that causes you the most stress. Dive deep into what thoughts and emotions you experience as a result of this situation, and then analyze your response. Ask yourself, am I dealing with this stress in a healthy way? Is how I'm coping actually serving me? If it isn't, how can you cope differently? And then, what I want you to do is make a plan for the next time. When you start looking at stress as helpful and energy that you can use, life becomes so much better. When you finally realize that stress is a signal that your thoughts and emotions are real, it's easier to respond. And remember this about stress: it's universal. You're not the only one who experiences these cycles. And it's not something that's going away. Be aware of your unique cycles and take action so that you can begin to respond differently. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the Inspired Intentions podcast today. We hope you enjoyed our Fitness Forward episode and can apply our breakdown on stress so that you can respond differently. The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to Alan Broyhill. We hope you join us next week as we continue to cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.